Welcome to Recalculating Small Business. Like its award-winning book, Recalculating is dedicated to small business in America. Your hosts are Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins. Don Mazzella is the editor-in-chief of the Small Business Digest. Dan Perkins is a registered investment advisor with 43 years' experience in managing money.
Dan Perkins here, your co-host, along with Don Mazzella of Recalculating for Small Business. Our radio program is dedicated to you, helping the small business owners increase their profits. We draw our name from Recalculating, voted the best small business book of 2017 by the Independent Press. In this book, it features ways to grow your small business. Now, here's Don Mazzella.
Now, here's our guest. There's a survey that says small businesses lose billions of dollars each year because they do not have professional human resource help. Brian Michon, ADP Total Source SVP, is here to tell us about the survey his company recently conducted and what it means for small business leaders. Brian, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Don. It's my pleasure to be on the show with you folks today.
Well, first, tell us about the survey and what it means, and then we'll go on a little bit further.
Sure. My pleasure. Frankly, what we did is we conducted a study of small businesses between 5 and 50 employees to understand how they were handling human resource tasks. And what we found was somewhat startling. 70% of these businesses are utilizing an employee to handle these HR-related tasks when it's not their core responsibility or expertise. And that itself was a little bit concerning, given all the risks and compliance, as well as the resources spent in conducting business in the area of HR without that expertise.
I have found that out. What can small businesses do protect themselves against many of the issues that are coming up today in the workplace?
Yeah, it's a great question. Frankly, I think they find themselves in a little bit of a conundrum, right? So hiring an HR expert related field of experts gets real expensive when you have small businesses that typically have employees that wear many hats. So it's not surprising that we have this propensity of non-HR experts conducting these types of tasks in small businesses, given their prioritization, given the focus on their core competencies. So there are a number of different resources that a small business could use. Frankly, a PEO model like ADP Total Source allows employers to outsource some of their HR tasks and can provide expertise and train professionals as a resource. There are also HR consultants that can be hired on a per-hour basis, or there's the availability of online resources or expertise that these folks that don't have the expertise today can tap into as well.
Brian, Dan Perkins, thank you for joining us. What's the website if our audience, and hopefully our audience does want to contact you, how do they do that?
Thank you. Yes, it's www.adptotalsource.com is the website for our company.
Thank you. We'll come back later in the program and ask you to do it again. Let me ask you this question. If my numbers are correct, and you can help me here, Brian, I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 to 80% of all the businesses in the United States fall in the category of the size that you're talking about. So it's got to be an enormous market.
It is. When we looked at this segment of the marketplace, And we found that 70% of these companies use what we call an ad hoc HR manager, for lack of a better term. What that really equates to is there's 1.5 million businesses in the U.S. that are doing business this way. And frankly, Dan, 98% of those companies say they don't plan to hire a trained HR person to help. And I think that's the state of small business. Again, that juggling many tasks. What we also found is that the average amount of hours spent on a per week basis is only 13 hours in the area of HR. So that puts these business owners in a place where, do I hire an HR professional that's only going to work 13 hours a week? That means I'm going to have to deploy them someplace else. And it's real hard to scale up expertise when you're in this 5 to 50 employee range. There's a lot of interesting pieces that also came out of the study from the folks that are doing this type of work. First off, 65% of them are either CEOs or owners or presidents. And if you think about why they got into business, it certainly wasn't to handle compliance issues or HR-related tasks or benefits. Yet most of the folks that are handling it are actually the business owners or leaders of the company. And you would think that their time could be spent in a place that would be more productive to drive the growth of the business or the productivity or the profitability, et cetera.
Brian, I've always thought in the management practice, I deal with primarily with small business people. And over the 43 years of managing money, what I continually see is that the president or founder or founders, plural, of a company many times can't see who they really are. They may be thinking of themselves the way they were when they were founded, when it was the two of them and a third person, and now they're 50 people. But they still think of themselves in their founding years, and they don't realize that they have grown to the size they are today. And in order to continue to service their clients and provide for their employees, they have to look at doing other things. But I think there's a reluctance because if you ask most of those people who haven't hired a professional, whether it's outsourced or hired, they would respond with, "It's just not big enough to need them."
Right, and it's an excellent point. And frankly, that is kind of the common thinking. And also, as a business grows, it's human nature. Old habits die hard, right? So I think the point that you made, when you start with a couple founders and maybe a couple employees and you grow and you get used to doing business a certain way, you neglect to look at what the business needs in the future in deference to what you've always done in the past.
I also suspect that a significant number of those companies let's just use an appropriate word, that perhaps the founders want to be frugal with whatever financial resources the company has. And so that the expenditure, whether it's 13 hours or hiring an outside provider like yourself, is a big decision because they're either bringing on personnel, they're adding overhead, or they're adding to expense, and they might be much more conservative than perhaps a much larger corporation.
I think you're right on there, and that's just the juggling priorities, juggling where they put their resources. And while it might only be 13 hours per week on average, I did some quick math here, and that's almost 18 weeks per year. And if you're looking at an owner or founder that's doing this type of work, you have to think that frugality might be a little bit short-sighted. understanding that there are many risks involved in handling some of these tasks on their own, especially given the environment that we have experienced in the realm of human resources and the increasing regulations and complexity. I mean, let's face it, over the last couple years or 10 years or even in my tenure with ADP over the last 25, it hasn't gotten any easier. It's only gotten more complex.
No, Brian. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Don.
I was going to jump in here and say several things, but I think the most important is human resources usually also involves health care and health care premiums, choosing a health care program, et cetera. And if you're not careful, health care can be often the most expensive item besides employer salaries in a small business. And to that end, how do you address that issue, Brian?
Yeah, and you're right on point there, Don, in the sense that generally that is from a labor cost after the salaries, that's probably the second most expensive piece of that's on a P&L statement, right? What we do at Total Source is we provide benefits at scale for our small business clients. So what they have is a lot of choice and options to meet the needs that might be individual to their company. And they don't have to worry about the compliance aspects, the administrative aspects. And that may seem trivial, but there is a lot of compliance around benefits as well. So certainly a PEO is a good option for a small business to outsource their benefit offerings and compliance to not only help control costs, but also control any risk that's involved with it.
Dan, I just want to ask one more question, then turn it back to you. But more and more legal decisions seem to be focused on, is it in the employee manual or is it not? And I saw a survey that less than 10% of all small businesses under 100 employees has an employee manual. How do you address that issue, or don't you?
We do. I mean, it's a standard offering for us. I think we believe that giving people what their expectations are, what the rules of the road, is a better way than leaving it loosey-goosey. It's also another way for a company to protect themselves from potential lawsuits or issues or even disputes that can come up. So it's one of the things that we recommend in a standard part of our offering in order to help protect businesses. I think one of the reasons why that stat that you quoted, Don, might be true is that part of the problem is your handbook has to be updated all the time. The amount of new regulations and laws, and I'm not just speaking at a federal level, they all happen at a state level, require that handbook to be updated in real time. So, you know, if you go out and get your own handbook, it might cost you $3,000 to $5,000 for your small business, and then you turn around and 6 months later, it's obsolete.
Dan?
Thank you. Brian, two issues that I thought about during this conversation. Being a small business person myself and having being what is called a serial, I think back over my 40-some years in this business, and I think how quickly I wanted to get away from taxes and turning it over to my accountant or CPA to deal with the taxes. Because as my businesses grew, my tax returns got more and more complicated, and I really didn't, frankly, have the time. And my CPA, even if a small business was, when I had four or five people, encouraged me to go to your organization for payroll because it made his job of filing the taxes much easier because he had reliable information from ADP. So taxes is another area where we seem to automatically be willing to give it up to a third party. But other services, for some reason, we don't want to give them up. And perhaps that's because we just don't want to deal with taxes, period.
Yes, I think you're right on. In fact, when you look at the origins of ADP and how the tax code on small businesses, specifically around payroll and related taxes, has gotten more onerous over the years, it's certainly been an area where clients have been very willing to outsource to a company like ours. I would suspect, I wasn't around at that time, but that probably took some time to build inertia within ADP to have their prospective clients trust us in order to do that. I think that's what's happening in the area of HR right now. The market's growing very quickly. And in the area of human capital, 7 to 8% per year, which is obviously faster than our economy is growing. So I think what's happening is as more small businesses are learning about what's available, and frankly, just word of mouth, and small businesses network together, they talk, and they hear about other alternatives that are available, it definitely increases the propensity for folks to outsource things like human resources as well.
We have to stop here a moment for a word from our sponsor, but we'll be right back with Frank, Brian Marchand from ADP, which I find a fascinating discussion. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Life. It's made up of the simple day-to-day moments that keep us all running on full. Full of joy, passion, and restlessness. It's singing full on to your car radio with the windows wide open. It's a whole bunch of early morning rush hours and a few late night runs for Rocky Road. It's full of pit stops and drive-thrus. It's life, and we live it between fill-ups at Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at valerocleangas.com.
We're back with Brian Marchand. He's SVP of ADP Resources. And we're talking about the need for HR people within the company. I'd like to ask a question, Dan. My sister-in-law, who unfortunately just passed away, was for 4 years battling cancer. And what impressed me most about it was her small business of 78 employees literally changed the rules so that she could continue to work and absorbed tremendous bills for her cancer treatment in their plan. And it was interesting. The president of the company continually had to battle with the HR person in charge because her duty was to keep costs containable and his duty was to manage his employees and to show compassion. How do you reconcile those two, Brian?
Yeah, it's a real, you know, human problem in business, right? And there are pressures based on the conflict of controlling costs, as well as, taking care of very human needs, such as the one that you just brought up. Certainly if the person is still employed, even in some capacity, they can continue on the benefits plan. But there's also provisions under COBRA where, depending on the circumstances, coverage can be continued to that individual for up to 36 months. So there are a couple different ways. It always depends on the circumstances as to how you could best handle it and what the alternatives are. But certainly, as you're aware, you know, healthcare insurance isn't free, and there's always a cost to be paid. It's a lot of it just comes down to very personal decisions on whether or not a company or an individual is gonna bear that cost.
I just want to follow up with that and point out the main reason he did it is because going to work was my sister-in-law's way of maintaining her life and keeping things going. The minute she could not continue working, she went downhill and expired. And you remember the old, leastwise when I was in the corporate world, you never went to HR unless you really had to. That I think is one of the reasons many small businesses kind of shy away from the HR function, either as president, et cetera, because they have this antipathy towards it. What do you say to that? And then I'll turn it over to Dan.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's real, right? And I think while you may want to avoid some of the knowledge and compliance issues with HR, I would assert that as a business owner, you're probably better off at least knowing the rules before you make a decision. That way, if you're going to entertain any type of risk in the area of compliance or regulations, you can calculate, you know, what is the risk that I'm taking? What is the chance that, you know, I'm going to have to pay for that risk, and what would that payment potentially look like in order to make a more informed decision? Outsourcing your HR or having an HR professional does not necessarily force a business owner to make decisions, but it certainly helps them make more informed decisions for their business. And as a last point, I would tell you that, you know, any small business owner, their business is their life. And it's probably one of the most important things to them other than their family. In a lot of cases, their small business is their family. And you want to keep it safe.
Dan?
Yes, Brian. I want to just tell our audience something. if you're hearing us for the first time on Friday, welcome. We hope our listeners from Thursday night will join us and continue the relationship, because we have a lot more to talk about. So, Brian, you know, as a small businessman or woman, you enjoy certain freedoms that a bigger corporation, who is constrained by all the rules and regulations, can't be. And Mr. Trump felt that the Obama administration put too many regulations on business, that it was in fact stifling business. And clearly our economy didn't grow very much over the 8 years. Now that the president is beginning to roll back regulations, do you think the environment is more friendly for people wanting to start a business and grow a business?
It's a great question, Dan. I'm optimistic. To this point, we haven't seen a lot of action yet from the administration, although, again, I'm optimistic that we're going to move down the road to making it easier not only to start but also to run a small business. Mm-hmm. Certainly what happened with the repeal of healthcare reform, which is very onerous on reporting for businesses over 50 employees, sort of stalled out, right? So I'll remain cautiously optimistic. Either way, if regulations change, it's going to require changes in the way that businesses actually conduct themselves. Hopefully it'll be easier.
Well,
that's the best answer we've heard in a long time, don't you think, Dan?
Yeah, I think it was an excellent answer. I mean, I do believe that when you're constrained by regulations, especially if you're a small business, if you are perhaps a better word, but I can't think of it at the moment. If you're a gunslinger and that you do things on the fly and it's your business and your money and you do what you want to do, the more the government interferes with your ability to run your business the way you want to, the more difficult it is to want to convince yourself to stay in business.
Agreed 100%.
Brian, I hate to do this. The hour has moved so quickly. Tell us your website again and how people can reach you.
Sure. Our website is www.adptotalsource.com. Really appreciate you gentlemen having me on the show today.
We're gonna let Dan have one more question.
What is the, if you look at all of the clients that you did in the survey and the clients that you have as a firm, is there one overriding consistent mistake that small business makes?
I would say there are a lot of different mistakes. I wouldn't pinpoint it to one, Dan.
Okay.
And I think the world is changing as well, right? So we've got a tightening labor market. And what I would say is, like, hiring the right personnel that you need right up front is probably one of the most critical decisions. And then retaining that personnel long term to help your business grow is another critical decision, where I think that's an area that all small businesses struggle with, especially now when we have this tighter labor market and people competing for the same talent. And the fact that small business employees wear so many hats, it's really expensive to replace them.
Well, on that note, Brian, once again, your website, and we're really glad you came and joined us today.
Thanks, Don. Happy to be here. It's www.adptotalsource.com.
Thank you very, very much. Now, a word from our sponsor.
At Valero, we believe life gets lived between every fill-up. So whether you go down the road on two wheels or four, whether your Wednesday night is spent racing to the grocery store or down a track, and whether you're dropping off the mail, the pizza, the kids, or all of the above, we're here to make sure you're never running on empty. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at valerocleangas.com.
Dan Perkins here from recalculating.biz with your small business tip of the day. Small business funding is easier these days thanks to a new breed of lender called FinTech lenders. These internet-based lenders cut the time between applying for funds and getting the funds to just hours instead of months. They also make it easier to repay your loans, but their costs might be a little higher for their service. The next time you need dollars for your small business, try them. You might like the change. I'm Dan Perkins for Recalculating.biz and your small business tip of the day.
Recalculating with Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins is moving from 10 p.m. Thursdays to Friday at noon. Be sure to catch all the great Recalculating shows Tuesday at 10 a.m. and Friday at noon. Times quoted are Eastern Time.
Dan, our next guest is someone I'm really looking forward to talking to, because I just heard last night that a friend of mine with a seven-year-old business was forced to go into bankruptcy because he did not do certain legal things. But our guest today is James Rousseau of the Legal Shield, whose Consumer Financial Stress Index has been predicting a drop in consumer confidence for the last 3 months. And I have to tell you, it's been one of the most prescient of all surveys I've seen over the past few years. But he's also got a company that I really think our audience should know about. James Rousseau, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Don. Good to be with you.
Well, I'm going to turn right after you finish. I'm going to turn it over to Dan. But tell us a little bit about your company, about you, and where people can learn more.
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, again, the name is James Rousseau, and I'm the CCO, the Chief Commercial Officer for Legal Shield. Jeff Bell, the CEO. We are based in Ada, Oklahoma. We're the largest provider of legal services in North America. We also serve the four provinces in Canada, and we have over 1.65 million members and serve over 140,000 small businesses. You know, Legal Shield's premise, our whole model is built around the idea of providing equal access to justice, and in fact, social justice for that matter. And really, if you think about the legal system, I think historically folks have seen it as inaccessible, unaffordable, sometimes non-responsive, and unaccountable. And we look to resolve all of those by making it affordable for the average person and small business owner to have legal access, right? Legal is not one of those areas where ignorance is bliss. And so not unlike when you're doing certain things around a home, there's certain things you could try to do as a handy person in your home, but there's certain things you would not go and do yourself, maybe it's your roof or certain electrical matters, et cetera. And practicing law is not for the lay person. People need a lawyer to represent them adequately, and to the point you made in the opening, to help small businesses and protect them in the things that they may not know, right, and to really guard the health of their business.
Dan, it's all yours.
Thank you, Don. Good morning, James. Thanks for coming to the show today.
Good morning. Thank you.
In the case of small business, what is the one or two common mistakes that people who have small businesses make that leaves them exposed legally?
Got it. And do you mean connected to the law index or just in general?
In general.
In general. Well, you know, a lot of times when you think about a small business owner from the onset, they're volatile usually financially, right? Many small business owners which I think we all would say are heroes in our communities, right? They're Main Street businesses, start their businesses out of personal savings, home equity loans, loans from friends and family. And so cash flow is king. And in many cases, the things that would help them guard their cash flow may not be cared for. For example, depending on what type of business it is, there are going to inevitably be vendor relationships and contracts with those vendors. And those contracts that are submitted to them by those vendors are going to be written with the best interest of the vendor at mind, not that small business owner, right? And having someone to review that contract line by line, precept by precept, and ensure it is structured in a way that helps that small business owner guard their assets, that ensures there are service level provisions within it, because if that vendor doesn't deliver, that often means that small business owner can't deliver to their customer, is really important, and that's where a lawyer comes in. That's point one, I would, you know, so in terms of exposure with suppliers and vendors. And then point two on protecting cash flow is accounts receivable. And accounts receivable is a major issue in a business that is dependent upon, you know, paying, quote-unquote, 30 days, 60 days, et cetera. And to the extent that people do not pay and they have to employ the service of a collection agency, as we both know, those collection agencies have to take their cut. And so what, you know, should have been a dollar to the small business owner quickly becomes 90 cents, 80 cents, 70 cents, 60 cents. And in both of those cases, a lawyer steps in. A lot of our small business owners use lawyers to help motivate people that owe them funds from an accounts receivable perspective through writing letters, making phone calls, et cetera. That's exactly what you should have at the helm for you as a small business owner, right? Legal advice, protection, counsel, and someone who can take actions when needed to as well.
So let's go back to your name, Legal Shield.
Yes.
And tell us what your company does.
Our company provides legal services primarily, and it really, it's a mission-oriented company, started some 45 years ago. Yesterday was our 45th birthday, and, you know, it was born out of the need of our founder seeing firsthand through his own experiences that, again, access to the legal system was difficult. Uh, often view as, again, non-accessible, non-affordable, unresponsive, unaccountable, and people have a perception of lawyers that they're, to a certain degree, even unapproachable. And what we did was figure out a way, our founder, to make it affordable by having a low monthly cost of roughly $19 and give you access to attorneys to call on an unlimited set of matters. It's a little more expensive for small business owners. A small business plan started around $39 a month, but a small business owner that can then call again on unlimited matters. He's not on an hourly rate basis. He doesn't cut the conversation short in fear of a big bill coming from the attorney. This allows business owners to call for counsel and get advice. And again, we serve over 1.6 million families today and over 140,000 small businesses.
Do you assist your potential customers in forming corporations and wills and trusts and estates?
We do. And so I'll give you the full suite of services. So we offer individual and family plans to individual consumers. We offer small business plans to businesses, and we even tier those plans and pricing based on the size of the business to give those small business owners that kind of financial leniency, if you will. We also, within those plans, particularly on the consumer side, have wills and estate planning services that are included. We also have a feature called SNAP, where if you get a traffic ticket, you literally take a picture of that ticket and it goes right to your law firm. And I'd underscore your law firm. We have firms in every state. So you don't go out to a random 800 number and get to a referral. You call your law firm, who then works on your behalf. We also have a business called Launch, literally to help you launch your business. So if you're a new founder or entrepreneur, and whether it's a sole proprietorship or LLC or Corp C, et cetera, we will do that for you. And then we also are the second leading provider in identity theft protection with our product called ID Shield. And ID Shield covers everything from monitoring to consulting, investigations, and restoration should you have an identity theft issue.
So let's that's an impressive list of services. Let's move on to the Consumer Financial Stress Index.
Yes, sir.
Is this something that your company originated?
It is. And I'll give you the backdrop. Because we are the largest provider of legal services in North America, we have an incredible data set. And we went back and looked at our data back to 2002. We took 15 years of data, engaged an outside economist firm, and said, hey, look at the data and tell us, is it predictive relative to the economy? And let's start with looking at some comparisons to things like the Consumer Confidence Index that we've all gotten so used to seeing from the University of Michigan's Conference Board. Let's look at it relative to, you know, the National Realtors Housing Starts and Wells Fargo Real Estate Index. And we found in not only strong correlations, but because the data was so robust, we also were able to see high level of predictability and foreshadowing data, meaning that it was in many cases 1 to 3 months ahead of some of those other indexes I mentioned. And so the consumer confidence, the Consumer Financial Stress Index, rather, gives you a perspective on where consumer confidence is. And the big piece I would tell you, Don, is that a lot of times things are done via surveys, right? And as we all know, surveys get people and get their intent, right? What we're talking about is usage. This is based on what customers have called their attorneys to ask them to do. So whether it's start my foreclosure, start my bankruptcy, help me with a real estate transaction, et cetera. And so we found our data to lead consumer confidence. So to your point, for the last 2 or 3 months, we've been stating that consumer confidence, as reported, has been overstated. We see it coming down because we see financial stress increasing, which means confidence will come down. And then last month, in fact, we saw the Conference Board finally state, you know, it needs to come down. And the reverberation of that is the impact and what it means to business owners, large and small, right? Particularly as you head into the fall. As we all know, the fall is a big time for retail sales. And think about it. I mean, just 1/10 of a point change in confidence that rolls into spending difference makes a big deal in retail sales as you head into the fall and winter season.
I am a registered investment advisor. I've been managing money for almost 44 years, and I'm independent. And so yeah. I do a lot of my own research. Two things that came out recently that have spiked in my mind as something to begin to be worried about. Well, for the longest time under the previous administration, we saw people, even though household incomes were declining, we saw the savings rate go up and the amount of debt decline. Just recently, within the last week, I heard that the level of credit card debt is at a historical high.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, which gives me more concern, is that as I was on a sojourn that took me from up through the Midwest, across over to the Northeast and down to the Southwest, one thing I consistently heard in all those markets, advertising for 1% down home loans and advertising for loans in excess of up to 125% of the appraised value of the house. This is deja vu of 2007 all over again. And I'm concerned, and I've seen what's happened to housing prices here in Southwest Florida, how rapidly they've risen. We've got people that are stretched in terms of debt. We've got housing prices going up, cheap money in the mortgage market, too cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the stress. I'm more concerned about not so much consumer confidence, is that we're hitting another bubble like we did in 2008 and
2009. Right. Yeah, and we looked at that as a part of our research, the bubble in 2008 and 2009. And at that time, I was in another company working in the credit card environment. But I was part of JPMorgan Chase. I mean, my background is easy to see. And to your point, we remember all of those circumstances. And while we don't want to speculate today, I would agree with your initial assessment, right? I mean, add to what you said, watching the trend on car loans, right? Car loans used to be back in the day 36 months, and it was 48 months, and then 60 months. I mean, now you're now watching 72-month, 84-month car loans being issued, right? And so to your point, the debt, the rise on debt is somewhat troubling. I just had the opportunity last week to speak on a panel in regards to affordable housing, and housing is a challenge. I mean, we believe by what we see in our housing activity index that housing should be coming back, but there's still some concerns with the input prices, and so we need to see annual housing, new housing starts come up to more of that 1.3, 1.4 million rate, and it's struggling to get there. We believe it's going to happen, but to your point, There's enough in the system to suggest we have some challenges.
So what other services does your company provide for small business?
We also provide, again, with a small business legal plan, again, the consultation around legal services and all those help things you're going to need. So, I mean, it's the things that are often taken for granted. If you're a small business and you're not working from home, but you have an out-of-home location, you're hiring employees, guess what? You should probably have an employee handbook and have them sign off that they've received the handbook and understand the policies, procedures, and such, and how to operate in your business. The small things that turn into big things, right? Doing just that process helps you avoid potential wrongful termination and the potential unemployment expense associated with that. And again, those things fester and just become bigger issues. That's a big part of what we do. We also have a product called Small Biz in partnership with Go Small Biz, owned by Fran Tarkenton, which supplies a host of services in addition to the legal plan. So if you need business consultation, you need a accounting system, customer relationship management system, as a part of that Small Biz package, you get broader suite of business services.
I have a very specific question. When someone starts a company, in one of our books, in fact, Recalculating, we talk about the fact that not only should you have articles of incorporation, but you also should have agreement about this dissolution. about what happens if one partner wants to leave, or unfortunately if one partner passes away. What are your thoughts on that?
Handling dissolutions?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing. You want a lawyer involved in that process. It's a very cumbersome process. Has, without a doubt, has a lot of tentacles associated with it, and so it's one that needs to be done thoughtfully and with guidance from someone who has expertise, without a doubt.
Dan, back to you.
Yeah. Does your company also help small businesses set up retirement plans?
Within our plan, yes, we can definitely give guidance on help them set up retirement plans and succession documents and all those sort of things. Absolutely.
And what about estates?
Yes, absolutely.
Handle estates.
Yes.
Where are you located again?
We are located and based in Ada, Oklahoma. So 2.5 hours away from Dallas.
Yeah.
About 1.5 hours away from Oklahoma City.
I've been there. Through there. So your services are available on the web, and when you have a question or a problem, once you set up your account, you can go to your web and you can get a local attorney who will work with you in whatever areas that he is or she is expert in.
Yes, that's exactly right. So we have proprietary law firm in each state, and those our attorneys do a wonderful job. Average tenure of attorneys, our experience is 20-plus years. The law firms have been with us for quite some time. But to your point, there are always going to be certain areas of law that are more of a specialty, right? And
yes,
if you hit one of those areas of law, entertainment law is a great example, right? The average attorney is not going to be deep in entertainment law. Then we get you an entertainment lawyer, right? We refer it out. We still control the process. And one of the things I'd really love to spend a second on is quality is everything for us. So we provide service levels to our members in terms of when we will get back to them on a particular issue. We also measure ourselves by Net Promoter Score, which, for those not familiar listening to the program, a Net Promoter Score, it's the way companies ensure that they're providing great service. After each interaction, you ask your customer, would they refer you and promote you? Would they not, or are they neutral? And you want to make sure most people are saying they would refer and promote you. We pride ourselves on having a 55 or above Net Promoter Score, which is very good. We do the same no matter if it's one of our attorneys in our core provider firms or referral attorney to ensure our customers get the very best experience.
We have to stop here just briefly for a word from our sponsor.
Before you hear this or this or even this, before you turn a key, step on the gas and let it rip, before you get up and out and on the road, you have to be fueled by something. Make sure that something is Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at valerocleangas.com.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
Dan Perkins here for Songs and Stories for Soldiers with your veterans tip of the day. Did you know that the suicide rate for women vets is 12 times that of their sisters in civilian life? Did you know that 1 in 4 women vets feel uncomfortable about talking to people about their mental health issues? Did you know almost 600,000 women vets in America are suffering from PTSD? It's time to help. It's time for all of us to encourage our sisters, mothers, and wives to get help by contacting their local VA hospital, clinic, or community-based health care center. So if you know a woman vet that is suffering, go to va.gov and find their nearest VA facility. This has been Dan Perkins of Songs and Stories for Soldiers.us with your veterans tip of the day.
We're back with James Rousseau. He's chief business officer for Legal Shield. And we're talking about how his company helps small businesses protect themselves, as my friend unfortunately found out, against unforeseen legal complications. Now we're back to you, Dan.
So just so we make sure that we understand, you're not a law firm. You are a referral service. Is that the best way to say it?
No, our company partners with law firms. So we have a proprietary network of law firms in our company. So yes, we deliver to law firms, right? And as a part of your membership, again, you get access to those law firms to handle an unlimited set of matters. And so you can call them several times a day. If you're handling, you may be a person at home getting ready to have your kitchen worked on by a contractor and need that contract reviewed. You may have landlord tenant issues. You may have, repair issues and need to send something back on warranty and the company won't honor the warranty. To your earlier question, you may need to prepare a living will or update your will, have some estate planning done, work on a real estate transaction. The list goes on and on, right? And the varying degrees of what the challenges could be. And we really promote wanting to ensure our customers and members are proactive. We give them a Legal Shield mobile app, and we like to say we put a law firm in the palm of your hand, because on that app you can do all the things I just talked about. You can start your will. You can deal with a traffic ticket by taking a picture of it and have it sent to your law firm. You can call your law firm right from the app, hit one button, and dial your law firm, et cetera. So that's our promise. Our brand promise is making legal services affordable, accessible, responsive, and accountable.
I'm sitting here still digesting my friend's demise, because, as I say, he didn't have Legal Shield or anything else when he started his business 7 years ago, and now he's just crying in his soup.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, very unfortunate.
James, I want to go back to a specific situation, not any real situation. It's a hypothetical, because I want to make sure that our audience and more importantly, that I understand exactly how your system works. So let me see if I can articulate the way it works, and then if I'm where I'm wrong, you straighten me out. Company comes to you, a person comes to you at Legal Shield, and they indicate they're looking for a lawyer. You tell them, in your area we have XYZ. They call you and they say, I'm looking for a lawyer. I want to start a business. And you say, well, we can give you a law firm in your locale. And your membership fee is $50 a month. When you pay the membership fee and you then Legal Shield assigns an attorney to be your attorney, as you proceed and do work with that attorney, do you owe anything to that attorney other than the monthly maintenance fee that they pay you?
Yes. So the way our model works is almost think of it like crowd sharing, which has been done in other places, right? So you bring the expenses down. When our members pay their monthly fee, the provider firm in their state gets a portion of that monthly fee, and that's what keeps the overall cost down. That's what helps ensure they can call on an unlimited set of matters. When you look at the average hourly fee for an attorney nationwide, it's going to be somewhere between, let's call it, $100 and $250 on the low side, right?
Right.
By allowing someone to be able to call in an unlimited fashion for $19 a month, that's exactly how we make it happen.
So in my example, if I wanted to, I'm a young entrepreneur starting a business and I've got a couple of kids, and I don't have a will. I come to you and I say, I want to join your Legal Shield service. I'm paying $50 a month, and you refer me to a local lawyer. Do I pay that local lawyer any more money to draw up the will than the $50 a month that I pay you?
No, you do not. The will is included. In fact, for most of our members, there's two things I would tell you about our business model and the way it works for members. Most cases are handled within the plan. Matter of fact, you know, when we look back at our data, as you can tell, we're a data-centric company, less than 5% of of member situations had to go into any scenario where they had to pay additional, less than 5%. Even in those cases, they get a heavily discounted rate. But it's pretty that tells you a lot when 95% is satisfied within the plan that's offered in their monthly rate.
So the 5% must be some kind of an unusual litigation or something that is going to take time, and the $50 a month or whatever it is not going to cover it. So you may have some additional legal expense, but greatly reduced because of the membership in the plan.
Exactly.
And so when I go to the website, and you're going to tell me the website.
Absolutely, LegalShield.com. Couldn't be easier than that.
Right. I go to LegalShield.com. Can I pick my level of service?
Well, yeah. Well, it's based on plan and what the plan is for. So if you're an individual, you can buy an individual plan. You can buy a family plan to cover yourself and your household. Or you can buy a small business plan. And, again, those plans are tiered based on the number of employees that you have.
So somebody like myself or Don, who are single employee entrepreneurs, self-employed, the business plan for one employee, what would that cost?
That's $39 a month.
So it's like a retainer.
Better than a retainer because, again, you know, for small businesses, again, cash flow is everything, right? To be able to predict and forecast your legal expenses and say it's $39 a month or with that $480 annually is a big deal.
I've been in business for almost 50 years. I've never found a lawyer for $38 a month. So
exactly.
Sounds like a hell of a deal to me.
And that's what our small business owners say. And some of them, you know, marvel, and we get great testimonials. We love helping small businesses. You know, but when you get those testimonials of, you know what, I contact my lawyer at the top of every month. I give him 5 to 7 people who are on my accounts receivable list who aren't paying. They send letters out, so on and so forth, and I get great responses. They're helping my cash flow at $39 a month. That's pretty
right.
Powerful.
So when you mentioned in your discussion with Don, you were talking about intellectual property. Don and I are both authors. Do you have a plan for people who special plans like for people who are authors and writers and producers and film directors and things like that?
Not today. There's guidance they would get from the attorney. Depending on what they needed to get executed, they're going to get them to someone who's a specialist in their area.
And, Don, how much time do we have?
We just have enough time for James to tell us his name, his website, and how people can reach him.
Absolutely. Well, again, my name is James Russell. I'm the Chief Commercial Officer at Legal Shield. Again, we're based in Ada, Oklahoma. Our website is LegalShield.com, and you can find all of our plans there that represent individuals, families, small businesses, as well as help with business formation.
It's been a real pleasure having you. We have to have you back because Dan has a lot of other questions for you.
Right.
Am I right, Dan?
Very happy to.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you, James.
Thank you very much.
We're in our new time slot, Fridays and noon Eastern time. We hope our new audience and our old audience will join us each week as we move into this, I won't say better time slot, but one that was asked for by some of our listeners. Well, Dan, what do you think about today's show?
We had two great guests who provided a lot of really good information for our listeners, and I hope they use it.
Well, you know, regulation is the bane of all small businesses. And Brian and James did a hell of a job helping them get out of that morass or stay out of that morass. I look forward to our next show. I think it's going to be even more interesting. We've got two terrific guests, and I hope our audiences will join us now on Fridays at noon as Eastern time, as well as on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. But for now, this is Don Mazzella.
And this is Dan Perkins. And if you missed part of the show today or you'd like to hear a previous show, go to recalculating.biz and look at our archives of past programs.
Thank you for being with us today from Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins.
Thank you for joining us on Recalculating. We hope the information you received on today's episode was helpful to you in starting and growing your business. Please go to our website, recalculating.biz, to contact us, to listen to past shows, and see special offers. Until next time, remember, if you grow, we grow. Join us next week for more helpful ideas to make your business a great success. Recalculating, a program designed to help you be successful.